Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. U.S. Attorney General William Barr recently spoke before the Fraternal Order of Police. He took that opportunity to deliver some criticism at some large county district, city district attorneys. He labeled them social justice reformers, and he alleged that these DAs are making America less safe, and he sort of pinned them as the enemies of these law enforcement officers. Is that a legitimate take? Is that a real take? We're talking now with William Kelly. He's a professor of sociology and the director of the Center for Criminology and Criminal Justice Research at the University of Texas at Austin. He's the author of multiple books on criminal justice reform, and he's also the author of a recent opinion saying that Attorney General Barr wrong about district attorneys. Our phone number is 210-614-8980 if you want to join our conversation. And William Kelly, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it.
So what is Attorney General Barr getting wrong about these district attorneys?
Lord, where do I begin? It's really kind of distressing to see someone with such a high profile as Attorney General Barr, with such a microphone as Attorney General, say things that are from the throwback era of the 1980s and 1990s when the American criminal justice system was, you know, tough on crime. We're going to punish our way out of high crime. We're going to teach people lessons. The whole focus of that was to try and punish bad behavior out of individuals. We have learned over the past 25, 30 years, there are volumes of statistical research that affirms that punishment doesn't work. What I found most distressing is that this high-profile individual was basically saying that prosecutors who are trying to think differently about crime and criminal justice and changing behavior, and in particular recidivism, that is reoffending, when they're trying to get creative about that and think differently, they get sort of, you know, strong pushback from the Attorney General who makes these dire claims about we're going to have, you know, high crime again because of these individuals who are trying to really do the right thing.
Using that platform before the Fraternal Order of Police, what does that say about this message?
It says a lot because there are a number of higher profile, what I call progressive district attorneys, who have been receiving pretty strong criticism from law enforcement associations and law enforcement agencies. I think Barr probably took that as a sympathetic audience at the Fraternal Order of Police. And what it does is just format more opposition locally. And you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, most folks today have some sense that we're in an era of trying to change how we go about the business of criminal justice. The whole issue of, you know, reforming the justice system, bail reform, reducing the size of the prison population, things like that. You know, when those are the goals, and then we have this individual stirring up opposition among a very important and powerful set of individuals, that's not productive.
The size of the prison population, there's that statistic. I'm just going to, you know, is it like 3%? We have 3% of the world's population, but 25% of the world's prison population, something like that?
Close enough. I mean, it tells the story. You know, here's the one that really got me. This came out last year from some survey research that was done. About 50% of all adults in the U.S. have an immediate family member who either is or has been in prison or jail. I mean, there are many ways to cut this. I mean, many ways. We can talk about the sheer size of the prison population. We can talk about, you know, incarceration rates, which are adjusted for population. We have the largest in the world still today. You know, half of the adult population has an immediate family member who's been in jail or prison. Whichever one you want to use, it still tells a pretty compelling story.
Attorney General Barr is saying that these progressive district attorneys is making America, they are making America less safe, but reformers are saying that these tough on crime policies have been making America less safe. What does the data tell us?
The data tell us that that is precisely the wrong conclusion. Recidivism is measured as people who reoffend or are reincarcerated, whatever. Today in the U.S., and again, there's variation by state, variation by county, but the overall reoffending rate in the U.S. for individuals who have been in the American criminal justice system and then are out is 85%. That's a pretty tough report card to take home to mom and dad. I'd be hard pressed to think that they would look very kindly on that kind of a track record, especially when we consider the extraordinary amounts of money that we spend on the criminal justice system. What progressive DAs are doing, and there are many. I have a project going right now where I'm interviewing them. I've completed about 20 interviews from all over the country, some in Texas, one in San Antonio. They're doing different things. They have different initiatives, but they're all headed in the same direction. And that same direction is, for lack of a better term, smarter on crime. Again, we were tough on crime for decades. For a variety of reasons, we're talking more and more now about whether that was a good idea. And there is clear consensus, at least among the experts, that that doesn't work. So the question is, where do we go from here? Let's just not throw our hands up in the air and say, well, that didn't work, but I don't know what to do next. That's what progressive DAs are trying to do. And importantly, it's a combination of really two things. Smart on crime policy, that is, diversion programs like diversion for individuals who have substance abuse problems, diversion for the mentally ill. About 50% of people in the criminal justice system have a diagnosable mental illness. Individuals with cognitive dysfunction. All of these, at the end of the day, are reasons. These are not excuses for criminality, but they're reasons, identifiable reasons, that are associated with people committing bad acts and ending up in the criminal justice system. What is it about prison that, you know, mitigates somebody's schizophrenia? What is it about being in jail that, you know, cures somebody's addiction to heroin? And, you know, the answer is obvious. They don't.
Yeah, they aggravate it, actually.
Absolutely, they aggravate it. In fact, the statistics show that what we're doing, punishing people, not only does not reduce recidivism, it actually increases it. Going to prison increases the likelihood that somebody's going to reoffend.
The number is 210-614-8980 if you want to join our conversation as we talk about progressive district attorneys and our Attorney General, William Barr. We've got a comment from our Facebook page. Tough on crime is a racist dog whistle. We need to change, not that same old, where prisons are de facto extensions of slavery mindset. Progressive DAs should hold the line. And so do you go along with that, William Kelly, that there is a that this is a racist issue?
Well, yes, race is clearly involved. If you look at the incarceration rate, and I'm sorry for, you know, technical stuff, incarceration rate looks at how much we use prison for various groups. If we look at the incarceration rate for whites, Hispanics, and African Americans, the incarceration rate for Hispanics is twice the white rate. The incarceration rate for African-Americans is almost five times the white rate. So there is a clear demographic pattern here to who ends up in the criminal justice system. One of the important things that most folks that I have interviewed, most progressive district attorneys that I've interviewed, are focusing on, among other things, is what is called bail reform, and that is trying to get more individuals out of jail during the pretrial phase of being processed. You know, we have historically incarcerated people in jail upon arrest, and then for some, you know, judges then determine, well, who can we trust to be out of jail awaiting disposition of their case, and who's too dangerous? And we have certainly erred in the direction of detaining way too many people. And there's a clear relationship between who gets detained and how much money they have. So, and that obviously is correlated with disadvantage. That is obviously also correlated with race, ethnicity.
But what about this, the strange elephant in a room on this conversation, that William Barr, who is the Attorney General appointed by Donald Trump, who is claiming that we need to be tough on crime and wants to be a law and order official. Yet he seems to be not talking about white collar crime and these types of crimes, but street crime.
Absolutely. That's what the public is concerned about. If we ask, you know, folks, what is it about crime? Even though, you know, you can make the argument that there's much more damage done by white-collar crime, at least in terms of financial impact, but it's the predatory street crime, you know, violent crimes, burglaries, thefts, things like that, that are the focus of the criminal justice system, and that's, not to mention drugs and the war on drugs, that's who populate our prisons and jails.
It's easier to rob a bank when you own it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a really good point. Yes, yes. But, you know, Jeffrey Epstein is the guy, you know, he was, God knows what all he got involved in. I'm not sure I should have brought his name up. But anyhow, I mean, he is a predatory criminal, but he wasn't treated that way, at least the first time around when he was in the justice system. He was given a very sweet deal from the U.S. attorney. I guess it was in southern Florida. So it matters who you are in terms of outcomes in the criminal justice system.
All right. We're going to take a break. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. Let's reset here and take a look at these progressive district attorneys. What is it that they are trying to do? We have one here in Bexar County, Joe Gonzalez, and he has some programs that he's put in place. Is this what you want the DA to be working on? What about the criticism that they are getting from Attorney General William Barr, and how does that hold up? The number to call in is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this break.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health.
The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need.
Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. With me on the line, William Kelly, professor of sociology and the director of the Center of Criminology and Criminal Justice Research at the University of Texas at Austin. He recently authored Attorney General Barr Wrong About District Attorneys and an opinion piece that ran here in the San Antonio Express News. If you want to join our conversation, 210-614-8980. Let's go to Lauren on the phones. Lauren, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I am wondering if, we know statistically what some of the most successful rehabilitation programs are to help prevent recidivism, and if San Antonio is participating in any of those programs.
All right, Lauren, thank you for the call. So, William Kelly.
We're in a very fortunate position these days to have research that's been conducted over the past 25, 30 years evaluating that very issue. What is it that works? What is it that doesn't? What is it about it that works? There are a variety of diversion programs for individuals who, rather than putting them in prison, for example, drug courts, for example, mental health courts, if there's an issue, there's probably a court for it, a specialized court for it. So the goal is to try and, let me back up. First of all, I'm not saying that we shouldn't punish people. I'm not saying we shouldn't have prisons. We need that. We just need to use that more selectively. We need to get smarter about our decision making. We need to think about individuals rather than categories or groups of people. So we need to be able to, when Johnny walks in to the criminal justice system, we need to figure out why he's there. And then we need to determine a strategic plan for addressing the primary issues that got him there in the first place. And, you know, some folks might say, well, that just sounds like we're reinforcing bad behavior. The problem is, if we don't do that, Johnny's going to come back. And every time he comes back, there's going to be a victim of that crime, and there's going to be tremendous cost associated with him going through the system again. We keep playing that same game. You know, it's the old metaphorical revolving door. So to answer the caller's question, we have a large inventory of things that are effective. Most of them occur in the pretrial stage of processing rather than treating somebody in prison for a drug problem, which is better than not doing that. If we can avoid prison and keep that person in the community under supervision, manage their risk, make sure they're not a public safety threat, but also provide programs and services to help address the issues that got them there. And, you know, the addiction, mental illness, unemployment, homelessness, I mean, those are four big ones. And, yes, San Antonio, I think, has gone a long way with things like the Sobriety Center, things that District Attorney Gonzalez is doing in San Antonio. Here's the deal. In my mind, criminal justice reform is local. And also in my mind, the most important individual in terms of criminal justice at the local level is the prosecutor. If we're going to see
And he's locally elected.
Yes, absolutely locally elected and supported locally by the electorate. I mean, that's a pretty important message. You know, Barr's, you know, there were some hidden messages in what Barr was saying, back to the point you made earlier, Dave, about race. I mean, these are obviously large jurisdictions, large minority populations that, you know, that vote for these DAs who want people to do things in a different way. I mean, the most important thing that can happen, in my mind, with a progressive DA is to change our thinking about crime and punishment.
All right, let me get some more callers on the air here. This is Robert. Robert, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. It seems to me that one of the biggest issues causing criminals to go back into the system is that gainful employment is unattainable. So what can be done to change the system to incentivize companies to hire convicts, or in the same way that your traffic record gets cleared after 4 or 5 years, what can we do to make it where nonviolent offenders don't have their record shutting the door on them every time they try to get a job that will pay them enough to keep them out of the criminal system?
All right, Robert, thank you for that. William Kelly.
Excellent question. I mean, that's really what things like deferred prosecution and deferred adjudication were designed for.
What about ban the box?
Ban the box. So if somebody doesn't have a conviction, they can then expunge the arrest and therefore avoid all that. But yes, ban the box.
So if I go apply for a job, there's a thing there that says, "Have you ever been convicted of a felony?" And when you check that off, and then that ends your application process right there.
Absolutely. But, you know, we could also eliminate, in Texas, there are like over 100 occupations for which someone who has a felony conviction cannot be lawfully licensed or certified.
A beautician.
Think differently about that. Don't take a wholesale approach. Yeah, if somebody is dangerous, that's one thing. But just because they've been convicted of a felony doesn't mean that they're a risk. We got to quit thinking about groups of people and think about individuals. This is a really good question because unemployment leads to homelessness and a variety of other things, and that leads to recidivism. It's not hard. It's not complex.
Let's go to Derek on the phones. Hi, Derek. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for having me. Great conversation, actually. I actually, you know, vehemently disagree with AG Barr's stance as far as prosecutors are concerned. I think it's great that we have progressive prosecutors, especially here in San Antonio, that sort of have seen the data on mass incarceration and over policing and sort of a heavy hand as far as criminal justice is concerned, and they're looking to roll that back and be a bit more open-minded as far as their policies and how they're administering the law. So totally disagree with the guy.
All right, Derek, thank you for that. So, William Kelly, we had seen progress from the right and from the left trying to come up with criminal justice reform. It was a bill that stalled when Obama was president because it wouldn't be taken up by the Republican Senate. But now under Trump, basically the same bill passed and became law.
You know, and I think that was just because it was President Obama that Congress wanted to prevent anything, you know.
Sure, Mitch McConnell wouldn't pass it, but now under Trump, the same bill.
Right.
And now the Trump White House is trying to take credit for this, what they call a progressive approach to dealing with overcrowded prisons and things.
And you know what? It's called the First Step Act, and I think it's called I think it should be called the First Step Backward Act. Here's my concern. It's well intentioned. It is so minimal in terms of its scope and impact. It's better that we do it than not do it. But for all, you know, all these members of Congress saying, "Well, we've taken care of criminal justice reform," I think is really misleading. Yeah, it does get some people out of federal prison earlier, which is a good thing. But if they think that's the end of the job, they have a lot of thinking to do, in my mind.
Previously, district attorneys were regarded as having unquestionable power in deciding who to prosecute and who not to prosecute and how to prosecute. Now that we've had this rise of progressive DAs, we're seeing judges take a new look at how much authority and leeway to give DAs.
You know, one of the things I've learned from interviewing the folks that I've interviewed, and I'm not really going to name names because I assured them confidentiality, in many jurisdictions, they were concerned about pushback from judges, even judges of their own political party. I think we don't really have the big picture here of where we need to go in terms of turning this thing around. And obviously, what judges' pushback indicates to me is political fear, political concern, because most judges are elected. It's probably a matter of time until we get enough progressive prosecutors in play. And by the way, prosecutors, again, are the most important, in my mind, players in this deal. If they can really start changing how we think about crime and punishment locally, then judges are going to see it's in their benefit to get on board. Otherwise, they risk losing re-election because they're seen as, you know, dinosaurs who want to promote tough on crime.
Do you think there are many actors in the prosecution system, whether they be judges or DAs or other folks, who want to take that step towards progressive dealing with this, but they're afraid of a Willie Horton-type event that will suddenly turn the popular opinion against them?
Absolutely. No, and here's one of the biggest concerns that I have with criminal justice reform. That's the role of politics. Yes, I mean, a lot of people sort of cower in fear behind taking this thing too far, this thing being criminal justice reform. So, yeah, I think there are a lot of individuals who think, well, you know, what they're doing in Dallas, what they're doing in San Antonio, what they're doing in Nueces County, this is really interesting, and my goodness, it actually might work. But I don't know. Here it's a little iffy. You know, I don't have the judges on board. Really interesting. I don't know if we're about running out of time, but, you know, for years, Williamson County has been one of the toughest counties on crime in Texas. And with the election of Sean Dick as the DA there, I think 2 or 3 years ago, they're really in transition. They are moving from one of the toughest on crime jurisdictions in the state to one of the smartest on crime jurisdictions in the state, and still a very conservative county. And, you know, to his benefit, he's basically getting people to start thinking differently about how they go about the business of doing this. Changing thinking is, I think, sort of the important first step. And once that starts to happen, then it's time to start thinking about, well, what kind of policies can we implement here to really start changing outcomes? And the goal is to change outcomes. And, for me, that's recidivism.
And in about 30 seconds, do you think this is being driven by what the people, the population, the people who've had to live with the effects of this of these policies, this is what they want?
Absolutely, it's what they want, whether it's locally through the election process as evidence of that or through public opinion surveys. The public has been, quote, smart on crime for several years now. They get it. They say prison should not be used to punish. It should be used to rehabilitate. The criminal justice system should not just punish people. It should try and change their behavior. The problem is not public opinion or public support. The problem is politicians.
William Kelly is professor of sociology and the director of the Center for Criminology and Criminal Justice Research at the University of Texas at Austin. He recently authored the opinion piece, Attorney General Barr Wrong on District Attorneys. And William Kelly, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Dave. My pleasure.
And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia, and Jan Ross Piedad. Dan Katz is TPR's news director.